Please join us this week from noon to 3 as we celebrate the life and career of Dory Monson with the best of the Dory Monson Show. For more information, please visit MyNorthwest.com.
They're here.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I can't take this anymore.
What happened?
I cannot take this anymore.
What?
I got a wife who tells me what to do. I got three daughters who tell me what to do.
Uh-huh.
This is where I'm supposed to come and have some measure of control over my life. This is supposed to be the one place where it's got my name on the show. And supposedly I have some measure of control over my life, but I am thoroughly surrounded by women who are interested in nothing but emasculating me.
No way.
Every second of every day.
We're
looking
protecting
out for your best
you.
Interest.
Yes.
So Michael from My Northwest comes in and says, do you guys want to shoot the Christmas video today? And Nicole goes, no. Not Dory's wearing the wrong shirt. I'm wearing my most festive kind of orangey shirt.
It's peach. It's a peach color.
Peach.
No, it's not even close to peach. It's yellow.
It's peach.
It's the most festive shirt I own.
Yes, it's tangerine.
And I say, yeah, I'll do it today.
And then
Nicole says, yeah, but when you're wearing that shirt and a white shirt underneath, you can really see your hernia sticking out.
Okay, and by the way, she points that out, and you point it out to Michael, and then he's like, oh, is that really a thing? And that's 2 seconds before I turn on the mic, and I'm supposed to say something.
Yeah, because I got a big, huge hernia. I have an abdominal hernia that protrudes. I'm sorry, but every second of every day.
Well, it's just because you were fighting with me. If you would have just said, oh, okay, tomorrow, then I wouldn't have had to point out why.
I wanted to pretend like for 1 second I had a tiny measure of control over my life. Is that such an unreasonable request for a man who has achieved what I've achieved here? But instead, I'm just this little puppet. I'm this little marionette who goes through every second of every day with my strings being pulled, my arms and legs flailing, no spine. Oh, marionettes don't have a spine.
Hey.
Seriously, there's a song for this.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and the thing is that today is Christmas sweater day at work right now. And so everyone else
Dory
that
went,
does this will be wearing Christmas sweaters.
So I'm wearing
and you're
my
wearing
Christmas,
your
I'm
Tommy
wearing my
Bahama
vacation
wear. You look like you're ready for Palm Springs.
Yes.
Actually,
not Christmas.
I actually bought this in Palm Desert.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
it looks.
It shows your hernia. I'll tell you something else. I'll take care of the hernia, but right now, it's, I think, number 6 on my list of surgeries. Okay? But I will take care of it eventually. It's looking like about 2025. And I'll do the abdominal hernia before I do the navel hernia. But those are 6 and 7 on the list
of
surgery.
Navel hernia.
Yeah, I got a navel hernia, too. And no, I won't show it to you.
Danny O'Neill just had that surgery on Friday, and it
what's
was
up with
a
that?
Little bit rough.
He wasn't back to work on Monday?
Yeah,
he had
complications.
And then every
don't tell Dory that.
Every time I turn on Fox News, I see a did you have hernia surgery? Did they use mesh? And then you called so some lawyer, you can be part of a class action. The two things that apparently are the most deadly things for class action lawsuits are if you have a hernia where they used mesh or if you've used Roundup. Those commercials are nonstop,
yes.
Too. So or if I had mesothelioma. I don't even know what that is. But those are the things I know that when I get them, I'm going to be part of some class action lawsuit. So
you'll be fine.
Where?
You'll be fine. But
where?
Let's
you know
just
what?
Get the knee thing done.
Yes.
Maybe everything will fall
you
into
know,
place.
You know, people our age can relate. Things just seem to be falling apart.
I knew I was going to get to this age.
You have a bum knee and I've got a bum shoulder.
I knew I was going to get to this age. I truly thought I was never going to be this age.
I know. Well, I'm only laughing because the alternative would be to cry.
So what shirt should I wear tomorrow, Nicole, for the holiday video? That won't show my abdominal hernia.
Yeah, let's stick with the black.
Oh, that sounds festive. But not the color of death.
Not your faded black shirt, because that one shows.
But how about we put a holiday hat on? That'll look festive.
I'm not wearing a hat.
Why do you want Dory to wear black for a Christmas video, hat. Nicole?
Slimming.
But it's not festive. Oh, now you're attacking his weight.
Lord, no, it's when you're talking about being on camera.
Lord, just take me
down. That's
what
we all do.
Just take me down, Lord.
108 pounds. You're still going to wear black and
I always, I've always worn black. That's what I've always done. the one day I try to color things up a little bit.
And frankly, I think it looks like a great shirt. You just don't want it for the video.
What?
Well, and he buttons one button in the middle. It's real funny. Okay, we're still starting to feel bad for you, so I'll stop now.
starting to. When I met Dave Wyman down in Palm Desert last summer, we take a picture on the patio where he and his wife were staying. And I'm wearing a little linen shirt over a navy tank, kind of an athletic workout shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You could not have hired a Hollywood lighting expert to do what God and the sun did with my hernia. I mean, it was like I'm all in shadow except this one bright spot. Right in the middle of the photo. I should show it to you sometime. It's unbelievable. It was the only thing that was protruding out enough to get a little sunshine on it.
I hate that.
Oh, geez. Just stop. So anyway, I'm not doing the holiday video today. And
tomorrow, though.
I gotta get control of my life. I'm not talking physically.
Oh, I know.
I just mean I gotta actually be able to make some decisions without everybody saying no.
It's not because you're surrounded by women. You're surrounded by women who care about you. That's
why. Well, yes, because I'm so lovable. If you surround me, because women are by their nature nurturing. And nobody, once you get to know me, I'm not the monster that you hear on the radio.
No.
Once you get to know me, I am lovable, and I am one that people want to nurture.
And protect.
And protect. But I'm losing Dory.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Costanza. I'm like Costanza. The real Dory is dying. I don't know anything anymore. I can't make any decisions. What else we got here? Hold on.
A listener wants you to wear your Spanx to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. I'll wear Spanx to conceal my hernia, Nicole. That's a really good idea. I appreciate that. Okay. Hey, do me a favor. Call me in the morning and remind me to wear my Spanx to conceal my hernia.
Call me
right before I leave.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Okay. Right after the wake-up call. Call me about 90 minutes later when you know I'll be getting out of the shower so I can put my Spanx on.
All right, you know what? Next time I'm not going to tell you that your hernia is sticking out. And you're going to be mad about that.
So
listeners
anyway,
are texting in medical advice notes.
What?
I'm not going to share it, but...
What, on the text?
Yes.
Hold on.
Hernia medical advice.
Hold on. Let me hold. Where?
No, don't. It's not necessary to read them on air.
Oh, Nicole says I'm not allowed to read the text, so I won't read any of your text messages. No, I'm not allowed to read the text. I do like this text from the 45. Boy, that doesn't sound like my next governor talking. Yeah. I bet I'm putting the fear of God into Inslee right now. Okay. I'm just looking to see what I'm not allowed to. Oh, this is good from the 360. This was your fate when your parents named you Dory. Oh, this is good. Let's just all pile on. Let's get it all over with right now. So we don't have to let it out in little drips and drabs for the next few months here. 253, I too have an abdominal hernia. Your body produces fat cells around the hernia hole, which causes the belly button.
I told you not to read
stick
that.
Out. Oh, jeez.
Okay. Can we get to some big lead stories here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nicole says that I have to do some big lead stories now. Sorry, you guys, if you wanted to hear more about my hernia. But Nicole says it's over. The hernia time is done. And now we have to talk about some news, okay?
You know what? I'm going to go on vacation again.
You know what? You go. You go.
You say that now.
I will gift you. I'll go to HR. I'll gift you all of my leftover vacation days.
Is there something that we need to talk about as a show off the air?
No, I don't like talking off the air. You know that.
I know. Yes.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. So we get to the big lead here.
You're listening to a celebration of the best moments in Dory Monson show history. For more information on the life and career of our friend Dory, please visit MyNorthwest.com.
So the first time I ever went to Hawaii, our girls were really little. And we didn't have any money back then. We rented a condo that was across the street from the beach because we couldn't afford beachfront. But I got a boogie board, and it was there was a nice little surf break on the beach right across the street from where we were. And I just wasn't getting the hang of it because I'd never been to Hawaii before. And there was this guy next to me, and he looked like he was probably 55, 60, but you know those guys who are in the sun all day, every day, and their skin gets real leathery. But oh my gosh, he was a magician on the paddleboard. And so after watching him for about a half hour, I got up the nerve and I paddled over to him and I said, "Hey, I've never done this before. You're just awesome to watch. Could you give me some pointers?" And he goes, "Oh yeah." And he did. And I picked it up really fast, given the pointers that he gave me. And it was really cool. And then as we were, you know, bobbing in the waves, you know, waiting for the next boogie board wave, he and I just started talking. And I asked him, I said, what do you do for a living? And he said, "You're looking at it." And I go, no, to make money. And he goes, "Nope, this is all I do." What's all you do? He said, "I just come out here and I play in the water all day, every day." I go, "Oh, you're retired. Well, what did you do?" "No, this is all I've ever done." And he started telling me the story about how he knew when he was really young that he just felt connected to the ocean. And so he decided to build his life around just playing in the ocean every day. And I said, were you married or are you married? Do you have kids? He goes, "Nope." And I go, "So you don't have any family?" I go, "Oh, yeah. I got family everywhere in the country. You're my family now." I mean, he was just one of those, you know, kind of Hawaiian philosopher type guys. And he goes, "No, wherever I go, I have people that I know and I can crash on their couch or on their porch." And I said, "Well, how do you pay your bills?" He said, I know some people who own restaurants up and down the beach. And he goes, "I can always, you know, go work there for a few hours or a day or two if I need some money." And I go, do you have an apartment? I was fascinated by this guy. And he said, no, I just crash at friends' houses. And he goes, "I got a bunch of them, so I don't wear out my welcome." And it was really fascinating to me. Here I was in the earliest stages of my career, a career I had dreamed of having. And it was so exciting that I'd just gotten my radio talk show on Cairo, the big dog. And I was, you know, looked forward to having a good long career, which miraculously has happened. But here's a guy who, when he was young, he felt connected to the ocean and he completely constructed his life to just bob in the water all day, every day. And I'm sure he had a lot of conversations like the one he had with me. And it was fast. It was memorable. It's been probably 25 years. And here I am still remembering it and still telling you about it. But I remember asking the question. My topic that day for the radio show was, is that a life well lived? When it's so hedonistic. I mean, his entire life was about just doing what he wants to do. And I've always found pleasure in serving others, you know, whether it's, you know, my wife or my kids or you know, the kids I've coached or my community, whatever. I've always found pleasure in that. It was fascinatingly divided in the opinions that I got. A lot of people said, no, that's not why we're here on this earth, just for our own personal pleasure. And that's not what life should be about. And ultimately it's meaningless. And then a bunch of people who said, of course, if you're happy, that should be what everybody aspires to be. And the guy that I described to them, he sounded very happy. And he sounded very, very happy. And so I've thought about that often. I've thought about if that's, and I personally believe, just because I'm wired so differently, that seems like a wasted life to me. I'd like to know. I still think it's a great topic 25 years later. So shoot me a text based on the story I just told you. Is that a life wasted or a life well lived? You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476.
We continue to celebrate the life and career of Dory Monson with the very best of the Dory Monson Show.
Let's just say you did run. Yes. And you did win. What would be the very first thing that you would do?
Very first thing I would do is look at reducing the size of state government by at least 25%. I would have massive tax cuts for the people so they could start keeping more of their money, since they're giving more to Olympia per capita than ever before in the state's history. And I would first fund roads and public safety, our cops, our jails, our prosecution, and our schools, of course, because that's congressionally or constitutionally mandated. And the first dollars we spend would go to those three things, and then everything else is optional. And we'd figure out what serves an important role, what doesn't. We would never have to raise taxes, because all of those things would be funded with the very first dollars going into Olympia. Then I would have a mental health system, so all the desperate people who are mentally ill on the streets had some place to go. We would stop allowing legalization of drugs in Seattle and King County, and we'd expand jails. So if people want to shoot up heroin on the streets, we'll put them in the pokey. They can either go get mental health, they can get services, we'll get them drug counseling, we'll get them job training, or they can go to jail. But they cannot sit on the streets and shoot up heroin. And then we'd start investing more in our roads and get away from the insanity that is Sound Transit. Oh, I got a million.
And now that's a busy first day.
I was going to say, yeah. And you made it sound very easy.
Well, that
but
would
now
all
that's...
be the first day. All the first day.
From the 425, you are the chosen one.
I am the chosen one.
I was going to say,
yes.
That right there is your campaign ad.
I have been called by God to save this state from the wretched excess of Democrat politics. But I really love this job, too.
You're listening to the very best of the Dory Monson Show.
In these divisive times, can we take a few seconds and reflect on the things that bring us all together? And if Dave Niehaus doesn't bring us together, well, then there's something wrong with you.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together, 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
Aww.
I don't know if there's a voice that makes me cry like Dave Niehaus's. And as you've seen, Nicole, when
I do my live show. I tell this story. I was 17 years old. I was the nobodiest of nobodies. And I called Dave Niehaus. I called the Mariners office. And I left a message for him. And he invited me to come talk with him. And then he became one of my dearest friends. And oh, gosh, I miss him. Every time I hear that voice right there.
That made me get all like teary-eyed and chilly. So cute.
I am teary-eyed right now. He's the man. He, and I've said this before. I say this in my live show. I'll say it now. Whenever they do the Mount Rushmore of Seattle Northwest broadcasters, we could have an argument about who numbers 2, 3, and 4 should be. But there's no argument about number one. And it's Dave Niehaus, the greatest broadcaster that this region has ever had. I mean, there's no question about that. And then I guess the real argument is who numbers 2 and 3 should be. Because Niehaus won. 2 and 3, we could have a huge debate. And then number 4. Well, modesty doesn't let me finish that line.
Celebrating the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the very best of the Dory Monson Show.
Listening to a celebration of the best moments in Dory Monson Show history. For more information on the life and career of our friend Dory, please visit MyNorthwest.com.
Well, this could have been bad, but we got a survivor on the line. So I heard this story last night about two 12-year-old kids who were pulled down through a storm drain 8 feet into a catch basin. Could have been horrible. And man, we tried to track these kids down this morning, and one of our listeners came through about an hour ago, and one of those 12-year-old boys, Elijah Baldovino, is on the line along with his mom, Christina. Hello to both of you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Hello. Hi, thank you.
Elijah, how you doing today?
Good.
Okay. So Elijah, you got to walk me through this, man. So you and your buddy, what's your buddy's name that you're out with?
Devon.
Okay. Was it a pond near your house that you were playing in?
Yeah, it was something of a pond. You know the, you know the, like, those things that gather water?
Okay.
And, like, storms? My friend got in first, and he, like, slipped. He got sucked down. And then my other friend accidentally, like, kind of bumped me, and I, like, my right foot went in, and then I got, like, sucked from there. I was holding on to the entrance of the tube for, like, 10 seconds until I couldn't hold on anymore, and I just prayed and then let go. And then I get sucked into there with my friend who's hanging on to the ladder and getting up. So I grab his leg and put myself on the ladder, wrap myself around him, put my hands on the ladder.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's back up just a little bit. So the entrance to the tube, is that underwater or is it above water level?
It's underwater. It's about, like, 6-7 feet underwater.
So did you, because I saw, it's kind of almost a whirlpool effect.
that sucked you down. Were you able to get a good breath before you got sucked underwater?
No, because I wasn't able to hold my breath for that long. That's why I let go. And then I got sucked into there, and then I got, like, a breath, grabbed my friend's leg.
So you're holding on to the entrance of the tube. You're completely submerged, right? You're completely underwater.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have no idea what's at the other end of that tube, I assume. Did you?
I don't.
So, and it was only about 8 feet, and then you got spit out in this catch basin.
Yeah.
That's all right? Okay. I was wondering this earlier, Elijah, because I remember being 12 years old. This is the kind of thing I could have easily done myself. And when you're 12 years old, you think that you are invincible, that you're immortal, that nothing bad's ever going to happen. Did you feel like, oh, this is going to work out? Or did it flash through your mind that this could be really
awful?
While
it was happening?
Yeah.
I actually thought I was going to die.
What's that like?
When I was, like, underwater.
At age 12, what is that like to have that feeling come into your mind?
I was very scared. I prayed a lot in there, and my friend was, too. And, when I was holding on to the entrance of that tube, I was literally, like, praying in my head, and the water was passing by me, like, pulling me. Like really hard because of the weight of the water and the current. So
were you able to focus? Because I would be terrified. Were you able to focus your mind on prayer at that moment?
Yeah, because on that moment I didn't know if I was gonna live or like die, so I was focusing on like praying, hoping it was gonna be okay, like. And
yeah, when I found the boys, they were both calling out to Jesus.
Is that right? So you're a family of great faith, it sounds like.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, and Christina, when you found out... Well, wait, before I get to you, Christina. So you and your buddy, you just started screaming at the top of your lungs because you were trapped in this catch basin, but as I saw it, there's a ladder, so you were able to climb up a couple of rungs so you weren't in the water anymore. Is that right, Elijah?
My feet were, like, about, like... 4 inches above the water.
And how cold was that water? That must have been frigid.
I don't get cold very often.
Okay,
so to me, it felt like it was maybe like 65 degrees.
Okay.
It didn't feel that cold to me.
Okay, got it. And one of the officers who was called... I saw the size of the lid on this catch basin. It's like a gigantic manhole cover. That guy must have had superhuman strength to pull that off so you could get out.
Yeah.
Christina.
It was an apartment manager. It wasn't a cop.
Oh, okay. Somebody else. Okay.
I lifted it off.
Well, I'm glad you straightened me out on that. Okay, so Christina, how'd you find out what had just happened to Elijah?
I was in there, an apartment with my youngest daughter, and my middle daughter came running in, pretty shaken up, and said that the boys got themselves in a situation and need me to call 911 right now. So I grabbed my phone and ran towards the boys and started calling.
Did you hear them yelling? So you knew they were okay at that point? Oh, you couldn't?
Well, once I got to them, I did, but you couldn't hear anything. It's about 3 minutes away from our apartment.
Oh.
But once I got over to them, I was, you know, right next to them, but they were inside of it, and I couldn't do anything. It looked like concrete to me. I didn't see a manhole because I was standing lower.
So what's going through your mind in those moments when you've heard something horrible's happened and then you hear his voice? But in those moments where of uncertainty,
first,
what's going through your mind?
The way my daughter made it sound at first, I thought I was going to get down there and find two boys that maybe were already drowned or unreachable. And when I found them, I think I felt that there was a way out. We just needed to get somebody down there who knew how to open the things. But talking to police officers and fire crews down there, what they told me on the other side, if the force had brought them past the thing that they went into
and brought them on the other side of it, there was a grate down there that would have kept them underwater and held their bodies so that they yeah. wouldn't have been able to be released out the other side. So it's a miracle that they were able to be even sucked up into the thing where they could get into a ladder because the force of the water, I'm surprised that they've stopped there.
That's
his
amazing.
Shoes were on the other side.
Elijah, you guys sent me some pictures, or my producer Nicole some pictures. That's a pretty good bruise you have on your leg there.
Yeah, I was really upset about the shoes. I did not like that.
What kind of shoes were they, Elijah?
They were white Crocs.
Crocs? Well, that those are easily replaceable, aren't they?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, Elijah, so last thing for you, Elijah. Your mom said that you and your buddy were both calling out to Jesus. What were you saying when you were yelling out and calling out to Jesus?
We were like, Jesus, help us. And we were like, help now. And like the thing was, like when we got in there, the water inside of there, like a whirlpool, it actually kind of slowed down. Like, and when we looked in there, before we even got sucked in, we looked inside through the bars, and there was, like, this big whoosh of, like, a whirlpool.
My goodness. Well, you have quite a story. You know the problem, though, Elijah? When you try telling this story, when you go off to college and you tell it to your buddies in college, they're not going to believe you. They're going to think that you're exaggerating, because that's a pretty wild story that you have now.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
I ain't going to college.
What's that?
I ain't going to college.
What are you going to do? What do you want to do?
I don't know. Trade school? I don't want to go to college.
I love hearing that. We need more tradespeople. You can make so much money if you learn a great trade and you don't come away from that with $150,000 in debt. I love hearing that, Elijah. That's a great goal to have. Okay.
Thanks. My mom doesn't say that.
There you go. All right. Christina, I'm glad things turned out. What happened to you, Christina, when you got back to your apartment and got to soak in what had transpired?
Oh, man. We sat down and thanked the Lord and gave him some praise. And then was on the phone quite a bit with family, and then a lot of people wanted to talk to Elijah and me, and it's just been kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah, I understand. From a whirlpool to a whirlwind. That's what you had. All right. Okay. Well, Elijah, I'm glad things are okay, and you sound like a tough kid.
I ain't, though.
You're not? Huh? No. What do you mean you're not a tough kid? You got to be tough to survive that.
I'm scared crapless.
That's not what tough is all about. We all get scared, but coming through the other end of tough times, that's what makes you tough. You can be scared and tough. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Got it? All right. Hey, nice talking to both of you. Christina, Elijah, thank you. And thanks for coming on, Elijah. You're a great storyteller.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. All right, take care. Thank you both. Christina and Elijah Baldovino. That's quite, that is, he is a good storyteller, too. I'm glad the story turned out the way it did.
Thank you for joining us as we celebrate some of our favorite moments from the Dory Monson Show.
Please enjoy the celebration of the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the best of the Dory Monson Show.
I didn't know what day it was when you walked into the room. I said hello unnoticed. You said goodbye too soon. Reason true.
I'm a little hurt, I have to admit, as I begin the Fastest 15. Little feelings kind of bad. Nicole Thompson has inadvertently, she doesn't even know this, she's hurt my feelings today.
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
Well, we talk a lot. You can't just, the show doesn't just come together willy-nilly. We don't just throw stuff against a wall and see what sticks. It's actually the product of an awful lot of planning. And Nicole and I talk an awful lot. And we were talking like 11 o'clock last night, right?
Yeah. We're around the clock.
I'm sorry.
It's a round the clock mission here.
So then I go on Twitter, and that's where I find out that you're going salmon fishing this weekend.
I told you that. So this is going to come back.
You did not.
I definitely
did. You never told me this.
It's just like my mother. I have this agreement with her all the time. You hear what you want to hear.
I could be guilty of that at times, but you never told me you were going salmon fishing this weekend.
I at least said fishing, but.
And where? Where are we going?
Oh, gosh. I forget the name of the city, but it's up past Forks, I think, in that area.
Off the peninsula?
Yes.
And can I ask whose boat you're going out on?
Brandy's boyfriend's. I don't care. It's Brandy's boyfriend's parents.
Okay. You absolutely have not told me this. Okay. So now you have to see if you can beat my biggest salmon catch up in Sitka last year.
Oh, that'll I bet be I'll have challenge. A hard time, but I'm
going to make this into a competition.
How many pounds?
Okay. I'll have to ask Brock and Tom. I don't remember. 20? 16? It wasn't a monster, but for my first one ever, it was thrilling. It was great. So
it's been a while.
Yeah,
for me.
I've been thinking a lot of I that was my first one ever, as you know, up in Sitka, and it's just what an experience just to be on the sea. And have I told you my theory about why the ocean is so soul cleansing for us humans? Have I ever talked to you about that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Finally, a story you haven't heard before. I am a believer in God and in creation, and I have to really make this story sing and hum, you have to be a little bit of an evolutionist, which truly I'm not. But here's why I think humans have such a connection to the sea and why it is such a soul cleansing place. And if you're at the ocean, if you're on a cliff, on a bluff that overlooks the ocean, that it's just, you feel alive. And the reason is the salinity of the ocean is almost identical to the salinity in the human body. And some believe that's because thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of years ago, when the creature crawled out of the primordial ooze of the ocean and eventually developed legs and eventually became man, that's why we feel such a connection. And that's why the salinity of the human body is similar to that of the ocean, because we come from the sea. Have I ever told you that theory before?
Wow, I don't think so.
It's pretty heavy. It's pretty deep.
It is.
Stuff. That's an exclusive. That's a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Okay.
On that.
Celebrating the life and career of Dory Monson. You're listening to the very best of the Dory Monson Show.